I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Kobe passed me the ball, and I shot a three. And Phil didn't want me to shoot the three. I heard him.
We're going to game seven, baby. Game seven. Game seven.
Welcome to Basketball Stories Podcast. I am Cleveland Anderson, and I am joined today with
Dan Dries.
And I'm also Dan Dries.
Whoa.
Man, fuck you.
Inception.
Come on.
I'm also Dan Dries. I'm Dan Dries.
Yes.
I don't like this. Wait.
It's going to be me.
Unless one of you is the,
you
like, the good angel and one of you is the bad devil, and you can tell me different things to say.
The three Dries.
Yeah.
Threes. You got to figure out who, which one is the original Dan.
They're all man. Bad.
Which one do I shoot?
At the end of this episode, you have to shoot the correct
Dries. I like that I get the gun, but I still have to choose who to shoot.
Yeah.
Which means I'm in the consideration set.
Yeah.
Damn, y'all. I ain't mean to cut off, but it's HQ right now. I don't know if y'all want to play that. I'm joking. I'm kidding.
He does this everywhere he goes.
You're kidding, but you have also, I've seen you check out a podcast and play HQ.
Hey, yeah. You never know. You never know what day might be your lucky day. Anyway, Allen Iverson.
You could win up $12.
I love Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Oh, dude, one of my favorites. I don't really remember his rap. I remember talking about him coming out with an album. But
I remember being really excited because I looked up to him. Like, I mean, all of us.
Was
did.
It was it right after his MVP season too?
No, it was 2000. So it was 2001 was his MVP season,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of MVP was kind of like a fuck you.
Yeah.
Almost because the one of the main reasons he wasn't able to release his album. Was because
Stern.
Of David Stern.
Yeah.
Just fucking all his shit up. And just as far as you talk of the NBA, if he's the protagonist, David Stern is certainly the antagonist for that story.
David Stern is the principal in every, or the dean in every college movie in this thing.
Real life Mr. Feeney.
Sucks. But Mr. Feeney,
Mr. Feeney had a heart, though.
Yeah, dude. He, there was always a moral at the end with Mr. Feeney.
It's if Mr. Feeney was a secret murderer.
Yeah.
I don't know. No,
Mr. Feeney minus the looks of I know you could do it. Just believe in yourself. David Stern didn't have that. It was just Mr. Feeney without the love.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was bad Feeney.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would love if there was an evil Feeney episode.
God, yeah, right.
Remember the TGIF lineup? Yeah.
That was some good shit. We talked about this on the podcast before.
He calls Topanga a bitch in class.
I would love for a person to listen to that episode and be these guys are fucking losing it, and then pick it back up and listen to this.
We're still talking about TGIF.
That TGIF lineup was
dude, Boy Meets World, Step by Step.
Step by Step, Family Matters. Great Girls of Fire.
I'm never going
Grace
out.
Under Fire.
Grace Under Fire, yeah.
Crazy. It was a lot of shows, man.
Man, yeah, TGIF was your fucking, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, thank fucking God.
They don't do, there is no channel that tries to own a night like that anymore, is there?
No. Well, depends on who you ask. Before, NBC had their Thursday night lineup, Community, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, The Office, and that was crazy. But now NBC is still doing it, which now it's the Chicago night. So Wednesday is Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and they're just blending it now.
What a terrible idea.
And I'm like, that's so stupid.
I don't know, man.
Who would want, back to back to back?
Just one
hour drama.
Do you remember when,
watching 3 hours?
No, no, no. I think maybe
Chicago
this is genius, because have you ever, when TNT is showing seven SVUs in a row?
I don't.
Oh, I think it's TNT or TB or USA, one of those. And I remember so many times in college, they would be doing a daytime block of Law & Order SVU, and I would look at my clock and be like, I just watched 5 hours of Law & Order.
Yeah, that's
SVU.
How they get you. Law & Order gets you.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Well, here's why Law & Order is good, though.
Allen Iverson,
The first 2 minutes of Law & Order, something so fucking crazy happens.
Yeah, and they just pulls you right in.
And you're just like, oh, well, let me just find out how this person was processed.
Yeah. All right, I am sure I have brought this up before, but I was homesick from work one day and I was watching Law and Order, and they had an episode where at the beginning of the episode they have Chris Bosh and Carmelo Anthony come out and be like, hey, this coach that runs this camp is the reason I'm in the NBA. He's the greatest guy ever. I love this guy. I used to spend my summers with this guy. And then the whole rest of the episode is slowly revealing that that guy molests everyone who comes to his basketball camp.
Damn.
And they don't give them character names. Yeah. So in the Law and Order SVU universe, Chris Bosh and Carmelo Anthony got molested basketball camp.
That's crazy.
Damn, they got diddled.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Officer Munch is a crossover from The Wire, so that means they also got molested in The Wire.
Damn. Jesus.
We got to find that clip.
Yeah, I'm very curious of that episode now. Kyle, that clip. Don't cough.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Collect yourself.
Turned my head and took it away from the mic. I really tried.
Nah.
You guys?
Stop.
It's okay, right, man.
But yeah, back to David Stern and Allen Iverson. Also, weird. I think there's an episode of Law & Order based on Allen Iverson also.
Oh, I believe that.
But yeah, so it was just at a time, like we talked about before, I believe it was just like David Stern. I mean, part of him was still riding the high of Michael Jordan. Because, yeah. I mean, that brought them some time. And then you had Kobe kind of coming up doing his thing. And you had a lot of decent teams on the league. But, like, you just wanted to expand. It was getting bigger. You needed to figure out a way how to monopolize it and to keep monopolizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this person kind of stood in your way. He didn't, but, like, at the time, it would seem that he would be standing in your way.
He was putting you guys at risk because, like, another part of the history of the NBA is – like so much of their advertising, and for so long they were afraid of, like, we have black stars and a white audience.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, what do we do here? And it was like they had just had their two biggest stars were Magic and then Jordan, and those were guys that like transcended everything. Mm-hmm. They could be anywhere and they fit in. And then they had all these little Jordan spawns afterwards where it was like, is it Vince Carter? Is it Tracy McGrady? Is it Kobe Bryant? Mm-hmm. Grant Hill? And Allen Iverson was one of those guys for sure of like, he could be the face of the league. And for him to be that popular and that different and divisive scared the hell out of David Stern.
Yeah, absolutely.
David Stern's like different too in the way that like he ran the NBA more like how the NFL's ran now than like how the NBA's ran now.
Yeah. Very,
like, and he's blackballed players. He's like fine people for pretty fucking like
pretty minuscule stuff. Probably the way like a
the
guy
shorts
like,
thing is what always sticks out in my mind.
That was really ridiculous.
That's like the thing that'll always like kind of stick out in my memory. Find like five or six people on the Timberwolves like $75,000 for wearing their shorts too baggy.
Yeah, that's insane. That's like
this is old man racism. Yeah,
exactly. That's like that's you're looking out for a league, not its players. Like the players mean nothing to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just all about perception. Because I mean, you figure a lot of the like Dan said, like it was black stars, white fans. Now it's getting bigger. It's like crossing over. Now, I mean, you wouldn't have this problem now. Like a player in the NBA to you would have to be, I believe, a modern day Gilbert Arenas in order to be blackballed from the NBA or like do something like, you know, like sexually abuse somebody. That hasn't really come about a ton of NBA players, which thankfully, like for a league that I'm a fan of, that you don't hear that a ton. Like, but you know, it's just I don't know. It was weird. Like David Stern was certainly just
what's his quote? Does anyone have it in front of him?
Oh, I don't have the quote exactly, but I know it was along the lines of freedom of speech is a First Amendment right, but playing in the NBA is not a right.
Yeah.
And that was his threat for Allen Iverson, like saying he was going to release this album.
Yeah. I also hate that I kind of agree with David Stern.
No, I do.
Yeah.
Because it's like, at the end of the day, David Stern's job is to protect the interests of all the other players. Mm. And it's kind of, there is the risk for reward of putting out that album is really high. Like, let's say it does become a thing that David's like, well, I was wrong. Everyone really, really likes this, and it's good for the NBA. Versus, like, if it's bad, you're talking about boycotts from, like, advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about special interest groups, like, picketing in front of arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, it's not fair to take on that much of a risk if you for Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and all these other guys because we wanted to let Allen just do something wild.
Yeah, because, like, we have a league full of other stars who just aren't doing this. So we could just pluck him out, and that could be a safe bet. That could be easy.
Man. Iverson was like the best.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he was unbelievable.
That's what was able to get him through it. Had he not been as good as he was, he wouldn't have gotten away with shit, probably.
Yeah.
No.
Or he probably could have, because he would have been so under the radar that they would like,
they wouldn't notice.
Yeah, they wouldn't give a shit. They'd be like, oh, is he talking about like homophobic shit on his rap album? They'd be like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Nobody, if he was the seventh man on some middling team, no one would have cared. Yeah.
If he was Scott Burrell, it wouldn't have been such a big deal.
Yeah, no one would have batted an eye.
That's a good pull.
Yeah. I had it ready. I was ready to go.
Hell yeah.
I was trying to think of the right guy. I thought of Kendall Gill first.
Oh, I like Kendall Gill.
Yeah.
Kendall Gill.
He does a Bulls Talk podcast, and it's just like, he's not that interesting.
No,
he's not very interesting.
He belongs on like the Inside the NBA studios where he's just kind of recapping.
The Bulls Talk podcast is a great thing to take naps to. It's a lot of like, so what are we going to do this
year? That's
so,
the fucking worst. Yeah. I don't like, I can't, I'm not a podcast person.
Honestly, I think the medium is terrible.
What a weird thing to announce on your own podcast.
I love this podcast, though. Yeah. I mean, I just a lot of things. Like, I do stand up. I don't really watch a whole lot of stand up. Like, I don't.
You're really bringing down the energy before our MeUndies read.
Sorry. I just, I don't take it in. But, like, I do like. I like Basketball Stories Podcast a lot. That one's really good.
Yeah, I think people should like go and download it.
Yeah, you should like download it. If you're listening to it right now, download it, subscribe, whatever.
Leave
it But I like the podcasts about like with people like this is a Locked On Network at all. Like some of those can be really awful.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they can listen to us. I don't care because we're in the zeitgeist now.
I'm calling out Nate Duncan right now.
Duncan?
Your ass is boring.
Yeah. Who's that for the Pacers?
The Dunked On podcast.
Dunked On. Yeah.
I don't know. It's some stats oriented NBA podcast.
Some of them just don't.
They never change the tone of voice. No. Like it's just like reading stats.
They don't have insights. Like, they literally will just like compare stats and be like, that number's bigger. He's a better player.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, stop saying
not to be biased, but the Knicks one is pretty dope. I like shout out James Marcida.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
he kills it.
The Knicks and like the LA team should have awesome podcasts because there's
many
people there to get into that medium.
Yeah, they should. Yes. The one before James Marcida right now, Jared Dubin, he was good, but he was a little more boring. He was kind of like more, I like the information because I'm like a Knicks fan, but like to hear someone like James Marcida now who's like young and like exciting and like will yell and curse and shit like that, like it's kind of cool to hear it.
You got
to
imagine like the dude who does like the Suns one is just like reading it like he's begrudgingly doing homework.
I would imagine that one could be exciting though, because a new young core.
Yeah,
even though Devin Booker's out. Also weird, since we're talking about Iverson, shout out Elton Brand. He got named the new
GM
of the
Sixers.
Whoa.
Yeah,
he
was the VP of basketball operations last year.
For the 87ers, right?
I think so, yeah. And they were like so impressed with him that they just kind of like shot him up to GM.
Yeah.
Damn, that is a shot.
He's doing work because he played with them like less than 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was like three or 4 years ago.
I mean, I think he was on the bench last year.
Yeah, he was on their vet. Like two years ago.
Jesus.
And those players like really like him.
Yeah,
too.
I'm on a fucking leap. God damn.
I'm pulling for Elton. I think it would be awesome if
you
just put together a dynasty.
Yeah, I hope he's great. Like that would be amazing. And you have like the talent.
I hope his shirts are cool.
Yeah.
It's a normal shirt. Yeah. This is not a slide that works. God, such a like weird defense from a nothing account. Just like, yeah, we know it's you, dude. Like,
yeah, come on, man.
Miss you, Colangelo.
Also, a thing that I didn't know we were supposed to be making fun of Colangelo about, that his shirts were weird. I knew once I looked him up, it was, but I was like, who is going this deep?
Once I looked them up.
Yeah.
Who's reading every criticism?
Let's get into this album now. Can we
pull
up a song?
Jules?
A song in the background? Jules. What type of... That's an interesting name to go under.
Well, it was one thing that I thought was weird when I saw it, because like, Juel Santana was popular at that time, right? Or was he an up?
I think his Iverson was like 2000. Juel's was probably
like
maybe the year after. Maybe the year. No, you're right. Maybe like two or three, maybe 4 years after, was like building his buzz.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah. So I was
spelled different.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I was looking stuff up. You can go on discogs.com and you can buy the 12 inch vinyl of Iverson's single for like $4.
I'll buy it. Damn. I'd buy it.
I don't know when I would be able to put that on, like having company over.
It's like, you know, it's a great record.
Hey.
It's weird. Like, and a lot of, I'm not going to lie, like a lot of the lyrics aren't, you know, for this day and age.
No.
You know, they don't hold up. It doesn't stand the test of time very well.
Which lyric do you think is the worst?
I don't like when he disrespects his elders.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'll wear my pants as low as I want to. That's what he says.
You old fucks. But like, I don't know. It's hard. And as a fan of hip hop, and like, I don't know. I want to be vulnerable. I know people have to pretend to be like the best versions of themselves 24/7, but I'll be vulnerable. Like, I, as a fan of hip hop, like, I like a lot of the more raw, grimier lyrics. Like, that's the type of hip hop I grew up listening to. So not being from certain groups, like when it hits my ears, when I was younger, it didn't affect me to the point, one, because socially we weren't at that level yet. And two, because, you know, like, it wasn't affecting me. But as you get older, you start to realize, but I can still go back and listen to things like this and still appreciate it.
Yeah.
So as far as that goes, and not like,
oh, there's
as
there
he says, as he says, F word tendencies. But like, F-word? I can go back and, you know, I don't know. He's good.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's strange.
Put it up a little closer to the mic so you can hear it a little better. It's not like a bad flow or anything. Like, he's like,
he is good. Like, Iverson, had he not been a basketball player, had he been lucky enough to meet the right people and get on, he could have had a career with this.
Oh, he's, yeah.
This certainly. Said something too, like, interesting, where he was like, he's like, I don't know, I just looked at it more as like a, like I was in a movie. He's like, you know, like I was like taking on like an art way, like where he's like, oh, I'm like making a hip hop album and I'm gonna like talk about this kind of stuff. Like, it's not like I believe in it. Like, I'm just like making it.
Also, I mean, he's talking a lot of like what he lived. His upbringing was
you had two routes,
play ball or rap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, he was in jail in high school.
Exactly.
I mean, like, he was in jail for a 15-year like sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I mean, look at him and where he's come from and stuff. But like, also in that time, the era when he was playing 2000, this is only 18 years ago. I mean, damn near two decades. Like, people weren't caring about these players as individuals. Only recently, as the social media has helped a lot, because you see people, you start to realize they, you know, how tender they are, how emotional they can be. People like Joel Embiid, how funny and charming they can be. And so that makes you care about who they are and where they come from. But for him, like, it's just a face. And it seems like, one, you're just a face. And two, you're a face that seems to go against everything we stand for in a world that we don't care to get to know or, like, understand it all. Like,
I think Iverson, do you follow Iverson on IG?
Yeah, of course.
He's like, I love Iverson, but like, that is where you're like, oh, you're not very good at this.
Like, no, and
he's
like
not
an
very
dude.
Good at that. Yeah, he's like an old dude. Like, it's like he's just kind of old about everything, and like, you're just like, okay.
Like, I mean, like, the generation he came from, the only way that the fans knew you was what you said in press conferences.
Right? Yeah. And he was great at that.
Or magazines.
Yeah.
Magazines were huge.
Yeah. Slam Magazine.
Yeah.
You guys get that?
And you would just like, you would take it in. Like, now you, thank God for like social media during the Kevin Durant era, just seeing him have meltdowns and just losing it on people.
It's been really
so
nice
funny
to know that I'm justified in not liking him.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
I like Kevin Durant. It is funny, though, to know, like, man, if I just had one hot tweet, I could get Kevin Durant mad.
Yeah, you can get him, pissed the fuck off. Maybe not even that bad of a tweet, because, like, he has gone off on, like, someone being, like, wasn't a good game. Like, well, fuck you, you play better. Like, it's crazy. Like,
I'm gonna make an effort this year whenever the Pacers are playing Golden State to really try and tweet mean things at Kevin Durant.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You hear that, Kevin? We're coming for you.
I'm coming for you, Kevin Durant. I'm gonna say weird things about how your head looks way too big for your body.
Yeah. Tell him that Oladipo's album is better than anything he would ever put out.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you hear the rap song with
the LeBron
Durant?
KD one? Yeah.
It's not Kevin Durant's part is pretty good.
He's not bad.
LeBron is just like, all right, you're like rhyming, but it's not bad. It's not good either. But like Durant's is like, it's all right.
Yeah. Take for just shots. A guy doing it?
Yeah.
I ain't listen to it.
Yeah, of course.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Of course. I didn't do the homework.
Kyle Scanlon doesn't care about black people.
Oh, he cares about them. He cares when they move into his neighborhood or when he sees one at a restaurant that he's eating at. He cares a lot.
Yeah, he cares a lot.
I'm on the phone with the cops. yes, I didn't think they were allowed in here. There's some really loud people in here.
Just wanted the cops to escort them to the next destination, which is hopefully prison.
Give him a ride. I figure you guys are already going.
You guys are going to jail, right?
You guys doing anything illegal today? Your clothes smell like marijuana.
Kyle's just standing next to a cop telling me he doesn't fit anyone's description. You're telling me none of them.
So none of them.
There's nothing like, you can do about this.
Yeah, I was just watching that episode of Atlanta where the kid tries to like go under the transracial, wants to be white.
Oh, that one's so funny.
And when he walks up and sees the cops talking to that black guy and he's like, it's him, officer, I saw him do it. And the guy's like, I called them. he just walks away slowly.
He's like all depressed. What's his background? He's just like, I just know that I'm a 45-year-old white man, and I live in Denver, Colorado, and I work for data engineering.
So funny. He's like in the mirror, like prepping himself, and he's like trying to say things white people would say. And he's like, what IPA do you have one time?
Oh, guys, watch Atlanta.
Yeah, for real.
Very funny.
That show is so good.
Yeah, Donald Glover is the GOAT.
Yeah, he really is. He... You know what? It's a shame Iverson didn't get to put out the album and we see if he could dominate in two different fields.
And then also go acting as well.
Yeah. That is weird. He would probably... I feel like he would be a good actor.
Yeah.
I would bet that he would be a... do you remember how like Tracy Morgan was on 30 Rock during commercial shoots? I bet he would be that level of difficult whenever he was like...
Just put a camera on him. That's entertaining.
A lot of them are good. Like if... You can team them with good comedy writers who are probably also sports fans who can, like, write something around them. They'll be able... Like, Iverson could be great in a show that's, like, tailored perfectly for him and his life and so, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, a show about him just, like, being a post-NBA player, like, an extra-style mockumentary style of Allen Iverson would be pretty funny. I would watch that.
I would be very watch that. Him in if Uncle Drew would have been close enough to his career.
If Uncle Drew wasn't made for 8-year olds.
I still haven't seen it. I heard it was okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet either. I feel very bad because I was like leading up to it, I was like, I'm gonna be there opening night, and that came out. I was like,
I mean, it's
a kids movie.
It disappeared though.
Yeah, it was not in theaters.
It's already out.
But the thing is, like, it was reviewed kind of okay.
Yeah, it got like decent reviews.
Yeah, I think
by people, Cleveland Anderson.
No, people thought it was going to be awful, but on Rotten Tomatoes, I think it's like maybe like 60 or something like that for what,
like,
that movie is.
It was like 65, 70, something.
It's not that bad.
Something decent.
That's not bad at all.
No. I don't know.
Oh, shit. This is live news from Bleacher Report. Courtney Lee has requested to be traded.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh. That's a weird dude to request to be traded.
Yeah. I was like, you guys gave me too much money.
Well, I just feel like when he's like in that perfect like journeyman, first guy off the bench, maybe a starter type of player.
Making
it's weird to hear those
dollars.
Guys be like, I'm making demands.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if they could trade him, they would have happily done it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you can... Courtney Lee's certainly serviceable for... He also requested that he wanted to be traded to a playoff team. So, like, I don't know if I said that when I first said it. But so, I mean, I don't know what someone's willing to give. I could see him helping out any playoff team.
Oh, yeah.
What
I
he
would
does.
Love for a team to just be like, nope, we're going to trade you whoever we want. Like, I'm just like,
that's what it comes down to. But why I don't see that happening is because for Scott Perry and Steve Mills, they want to be seen as people that players can trust before this upcoming free agency.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like they will certainly,
they'll take care of him.
Yeah, they'll take care of him pretty well. Yeah. I just don't know where.
There's enough teams that would love to have that guy coming off their bench.
I would trade him. I wouldn't do it. Never mind. If it was draft day, I would have done the trade of Courtney Lee in our pick to get number 4 pick. I didn't get Chandler Parsons back, so him and Noah come off the same year. But I mean, now that we have Knox, it doesn't really make any sense. And now that they have Jaren Jackson, they're certainly not getting rid of Jaren Jackson.
No.
Not that I want to get rid of Knox. I love him. I think that he's going to be great. But
yeah. No, Knox is going to be very good for you guys.
Yeah. But Jaren Jackson, I think, is going to be a beast.
Defensively, he's already a problem because he can just move so fast.
Yeah, and he scores way better than people have given him credit for.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what Courtney. We'll see what
this is going to be a fun rookie class to watch. Yeah. I'm like very excited to watch a lot of bad teams.
For real.
Yeah. League Pass is going to be great this year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very fun.
Yeah.
Courtney Lee to Portland. I'm calling it.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
For Evan Turner, I would take that. I mean, we got to take back a young little scrappy. Not that he's young and scrappy.
But that's like a contributor.
Or a Harkless would be like the same amount of money.
I would like Harkless.
Calling it right now, Harkless.
I'm very down for that. Courtney Lee, I think, is making
11.
11.
I think it's 11. And next, Harkless makes 10.
These next 2 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would do it.
You know where Courtney Lee would make a lot of sense? I feel like he would fit in real well with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
That seems like a team that he would thrive on.
Yeah. Also Houston too, I think, would be nasty. Yeah. The 3-and-D. Also his defense, if we get down to his defensive numbers, we can debate how good he is defensively. Either any one of those teams, I feel like the Lakers also would be sweet.
Yeah, it's insane to see how good Gerald Green looked last year on that team. Yeah. Like, how did he looks amazing on this team.
Gerald Green has had more moments of looking like the best player in the NBA than like some All-Stars.
He's so fun to root for, though. Like, that was like my favorite thing last year whenever he got signed and he was like, yeah, I've been working out. I've been playing every day with my dogs.
Yeah.
Just like, I told you, I've been doing it.
Yeah. Dude, he has one of the few McDonald's All-American games that is worth like just pulling up on YouTube and watching end-to-end.
Just insane.
He goes off in the All-American game, and he was a high school to the pros guy, and I remember when the Celtics got him, I was like, all right, game ender. They just got like one of the best shooting guards in the NBA. This guy's going to be amazing. And then he was okay.
Yeah, he was like okay.
Yeah.
He's always been okay.
Yeah. I just saw him have such an unbelievable game.
He's had some real fun dunks.
Yeah.
And he has like 9 fingers or something weird like that too.
Yeah, he cut the tip of one of his fingers off because I think it was in his backyard. They had a makeshift NBA, like a rim that was made out of a trash can that they cut the top off of.
No.
So it was just like razor sharp on one end, and he went up for a dunk and like chopped one of his fingers off at the first digit.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That sounds nasty.
Yeah. The weird, I mean, it was one of those things that I remember like, it's not as bad as it sounds because I think it's like his ring finger.
Yeah.
And it's only at one, I mean, it's a nasty injury, but it's not enough to like really affect his ability to like handle a ball or shoot. But yeah, it is a very rough story to hear that one.
Let's jump back to this Iverson thing.
Well, the one thing I was thinking of is like, he was the guy who like brought hip hop culture into the NBA. There were other guys who kind of towed the water, but he was the reason it happened.
Ron Artest was playing around with it too, but Iverson was the big face.
Yeah. Iverson was a big face. He was just a cooler guy. Like Artest is, I love Ron Artest, but he's kind of a weird, like, you don't look at him and be like, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
He's fun.
Yeah.
He's also crazy. You don't want to be him.
No, you do not want to be Ron Artest.
But you wanted to be Iverson.
Actually, you know what? Now I would like to be Ron Artest. He's gone through a lot of personal growth. Yeah. He's got like a family. He's got a ring.
Yeah.
The Lakers kept him around I bet he can still go to Lakers games.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Did you hear Andrew Bynum's trying to make a comeback?
Yeah, there's video of him, and it's like
the look on Kyle's face is like
he played 30 seconds for the Cavs.
Yeah. He really was not a good Roy Hibbert, it got in his head so bad when the Pacers signed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking of like Iverson made this huge impact on the culture of the NBA. Are there's maybe three other guys that have that kind of an impact on the NBA, if that?
LeBron, probably, yeah, for his philanthropy.
I'd say LeBron for his philanthropy. I would say Jordan just for his like being greatness. Such a, yeah, like a marketable status. Player. And the other guy I was kind of like, he's a little bit on the cusp of this, but I think it kind of counts, is Bill Walton. Because when he came in the NBA, he was like one of the first guys to be about like protesting and like championing social causes through
the
NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
And I can't think of a guy who did that before him.
Certainly. I'm sure Bill Russell was like a part of like.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, but you know that Dan only likes white players.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I wanted,
yeah.
What I meant to say is causes that white people like.
Exactly.
Yeah. We had to pick a white guy in there.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it makes it better.
Yeah. Bill Russell's old race stories about playing in Boston are insane.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Not surprised he's like an old man that'll just give people the finger for whatever.
Yeah.
Reason.
It's like, yeah. I deserve this.
Yeah.
And I fuck all of you.
Yeah. Him and Oscar Robertson are like, they just do not like people. Yeah.
All of y'all who are rooting for me, your parents did not feel me back in the day. Yeah. Just so you know.
Well, I was reading the ABA book, and Julius Erving in that thing talks about like, yeah, I could tell when we were going to play games in the South, like, because you go on those long road schedules and you're just like on a bus and you don't really even think of where you're going that much. Mm. He's like, you knew you were in the South because there were like billboards advertising the Klan, so that kind of stood out.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing a billboard that was just advertising the Klan?
Like, oh, I need to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Very quickly.
My favorite one is when I go from Chicago to Cincinnati. You go there's one in around Indianapolis where it just says hell is real.
Yeah, and there's some of those too.
That's great.
Hell is definitely real, guys.
Someone's paying like $4,000 every month to keep the hell is real billboard up.
As they should.
Yeah.
It's me. I've been doing it.
Repent.
I've been spending all the money that we make off the podcast.
Man, that would be such a good GoFundMe to do. To put up a GoFundMe for like, guys, the Hell is Real billboard is going to get shut down if we can't raise $20,000.
We need people to know.
We get 25, we can change it to Hell is a Construct.
Hell is a construct. Hell is a construct and it's real. It's a real construct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I was going for. Any last thoughts on this AI album?
Dan, you can go first.
Oh, yeah. My eyes got real big.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I was thinking about it. I was like, all right, Allen Iverson was very good. And Stern didn't want him to put this album out. But I feel like if Iverson would have had a better relationship with like the higher-ups in the league, it's not crazy to imagine a world where Iverson... The league finds this. They're like, Iverson, we love you as a star, but you can't put this out. He goes back and retools the album just a little bit because he's just on the cusp of like...
Well, that's what he originally did. Like, he edited out some of like what Stern said was the most offensive stuff.
Really?
Yeah, he was going to... So that was how it was going to work was he... So he ends up like dropping out of the project like late 2000 something. Like late 2000, like November or October or something, but like that through the summer was when he recorded it, and then he re-recorded it or edited out those words, and like changed the lyrics. And then he was like, by then he said he just lost momentum in the album and he didn't feel like doing it anymore.
Man, that sucks. Because I would love to see a world where he like makes it just enough that the NBA is cool with him putting it out and see what happens. Because he is like. He's very good. He's very of that time. He sounds a lot like DMX. He's like a...
DMX never said anything offensive.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Did I ever tell you guys when I was like in seventh grade, remember, what's the album called? It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one album, that one song on there, like where it's like, who dick you sucking?
Remember that?
Oh, that's that's my favorite DMX song. It's called How It's Going Down. Yeah. That's how it starts.
We used to prank call people.
And play that? My God.
And that was our big prank call in like 7th grade was like, who you think you're so good?
Yeah, she's like, I don't know nobody in fucking Yonkers. Yeah, it's perfect.
No, nobody.
I recognize the accent.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I remember when like Napster had just come out, I downloaded every DMX song.
Yeah.
And my mom one day was like, I'm going to like clean out some of the stuff on the computer. It's going kind of slow. And I was in the other room like, it's cool. She's not going to look at the music. And if she does, she's not going to listen to it. Right?
Yeah, right.
And then like 5 minutes later, it's like, hey, Dan, do you want to explain who DMX is? Well, I was like,
rather not.
No.
Mom, I'm a Rough Rider now.
Yeah. Rough Rider, you're fucking used to it, lady.
Yeah. You start barking at her. Yeah. She's like, make dinner.
That song when he starts and DMX is just like, you know what a dog is. He just keeps saying that to your mom over and over again. You know what a dog is.
Hey, Mom, I know that you're going through the computer. You want to get rid of some stuff that doesn't need to be on there, but you know who a dog is?
You know what a dog is? Motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, you want me to eat Brussels sprouts? You know who a dog is? I'm not eating your fucking Brussels sprouts.
That ain't a fuck. You know what a dog is.
You hold my dick while he's sucking it, okay?
You point to your dad. You point to your dad.
Oh, that would be the greatest comeback to your parents in the world.
Look at you, Dad.
I'd be like, I'm never allowed to leave my room, and it was worth it. Dude, we gotta find like an 8-year-old and give him $20 to say that to his parents.
Oh, for sure. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll give him a whole check.
Oh god. That's so funny.
So yeah, that's my final thoughts.
Hell yeah. Cleavy, you got anything you good?
I'm
not gonna get anything better than that.
Yeah, not at all.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast. We're gonna keep doing more like album reviews during the off season when we got like 30 days left or something.
Yeah, it's almost there.
Yeah, it's sneaking up, man.
Yeah, it's coming up. Well, actually preseason is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And I get excited for preseason.
I know, I'll watch all the preseason games. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
I'm just excited it's back. It's coming back. Yeah. I miss it so much every year.
Yeah, for real.
This is like the peak of conspiracies of like who's going to be good, where I'm like, Dallas is going to be the best team in the world because we don't even know it, but they have Giannis's younger brother, and Giannis said he was better one time in an interview. So,
yeah, send in your suggestions for episodes. And once the season starts, I'm sure we'll be more frequent again. You know, off season is hard to, you know, stay in that mode. But, you know, we'll get it and send it in. Follow, subscribe, rate.
Bye.
Let us know who's your favorite.
That's right.
Sure, it's me.
Come on.
We'll see you all later.
Bye.
Bye.